Welcome to the jungle. Or at least, welcome to Ramble with Rosie. Or actually, Ramble on with Rosie, but close enough. My name's Rosie. Glad you could stop by. We will be discussing music today. We will not be discussing Guns N' Roses today. Another day, though. Because they deserve a whole ramble just to themselves. They are quite a phenomenal band. But, rather than them, we will be discussing another man who rocked the 80s, and who I have discussed before, Mr. Bruce Springsteen. We will not be discussing hard rock elements to his music, though. No. We're going deep with the fact that, to me, in my opinion at least, Bruce is one, if not the best songwriters, period, but especially when it comes to how human relationships work and how messy they can get, but how you kind of have to deal with the messy to have healthy relationships. I mean, so many of his songs deal with either the heroine or the own male character dealing with insecurities and hiding and all the things that you do when you're not sure that you're actually loved or want to risk loving again. I mean, Bruce really hits those topics. The only other songwriter I can think of who comes close to discussing them as much as he does is Jackson Browne. And like I tell my guy friends when they're like, I don't understand women, I'm like, go listen to Bruce, go listen to Jackson. That is your bedrock. The rest you can figure out and apply as needed, but they will teach you a good bit of what you need to know. They are the instruction manual to any good relationships, but especially to girls. So, hair is driving me nuts. They really get it. And Bruce does too, because Bruce couches it in sometimes some pretty upbeat rock and roll songs, so you're not necessarily realizing that you're being taught some valuable life lessons. Bruce Jackson kind of makes you slow down and you have to listen. But anyways, we're talking about Bruce, not Jackson today. And here's the part of Bruce's relational songs that I want to discuss. Because there's so much of his songs so many of his songs that are about relationships. Can't just do that, otherwise we'd be here for a year. But the part that I'm really, really struck me recently is how it relates to the hiding, the insecurities, and letting your insecurities getting in the way of a good relationship with somebody. The song that kickstarted this really for me was Secret Garden, especially because I was listening to Tom Morello's Radio Comandante on East Street Radio, and he juxtaposed Secret Garden and If I Should Fall Behind, which If I Should Fall Behind is a really good love song. But for me, the antithesis, the healthy relationship versus the unhealthy relationship that's in Secret Garden is Living Proof. But there's a few Bruce songs in between. The man lays out the 5-step program, or whatever you want to call it, of how to grow up. We will be quoting some samplings from his biography, because it's really good. If you haven't read it, you really should. It's in the top 5 books I've ever read in my life. Like, if I had to restart a civilization and could only bring 5 books to do it with, it's the Bible, Shakespeare, Lord of the Rings, Les Miserables by Victor Hugo, and Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen, and I'm not even being dramatic or joking whatsoever. It's that good. So, anyways, we'll be giving some excerpts from his own life and words that back up the points in the songs. And so, one of those, starting with Secret Garden, you know, obviously you have the heroine who is, she kind of wants, you know, she's not cold-hearted, she's not against being in a relationship, she's even kind of trusting, like, you know, she trusts him in her car and in her house late at night, you know, she's not cold, she's not your typical, you know, like, in some of other Bruce's songs, the more light, upbeat, poppy ones where, you know, there's the girl who won't answer the door when he comes calling and stuff. No, she's, like, into it. She just... There's parts of herself that she doesn't feel comfortable sharing. Whatever it may be. If it's past trauma, if it's just letting somebody in to her heart to the extent that she actually trusts them and is herself about it. And so, with the topic of hiding parts of ourself, I had to look up which page numbers these are on. One of the lines out of Born to Run, the book that applies to that, is Bruce is talking about, he kind of had a mental breakdown on a road trip one time. Fun times. Anyways, he's discussing sort of the aftermath and the thoughts that came to him after that, and he sort of, his words are, "Long ago, the defenses I built to withstand the stress of my childhood to save what I had of myself outlived their usefulness, and I've become an abuser of their once life-saving powers. I relied on them to wrongly isolate myself, seal my alienation, cut me off from life, control others, contain my emotions to a damaging degree. Now the bill collector is knocking, and his payment will be in tears." And to me, that's sort of where the hero in Secret Garden's in. Like, she's... whatever she's done to protect herself, it's now hurting her relationships rather than helping her. I mean, and we've all got stuff. Past relationships, be it familial or romantic, or friends that did us wrong, that make us be like, I don't feel like trusting anybody to actually get to know me. Last time that happened, I got burned. It's a normal human reaction. But it's not always a healthy one. Sometimes you need to keep people at a distance because they're sketchy. But sometimes you do need to relent and be like, you know, I can drop my brilliant disguise and be myself. Which brings us to the next song in this sort of progression of personal growth via Bruce Springsteen songs in a relational context. Try that for specific. Anyways, and with Brilliant Disguise, it's like our own security. Like, no one told us we had to wear these masks. We got impressions through our relationships with other people that that's what was expected, that this is who you're supposed to be. I mean, for years, I thought I had to be tough and hang with the boys and be as macho tough and kick butt as they were. And did pretty decent at it, too. But that wasn't who I was. I wasn't a guy. I mean, I could discuss football and stuff like that, but I wasn't a guy. That was my disguise. My persona was, I'm the chick who can discuss as much masculine stuff as you can, and probably know more about the LSU Tigers or whatever team it was that was hot at the time than you do. That was me. I was the know-it-all tomboy. That was my disguises, my personas that I wore. Wasn't all of who I was. Wasn't even near all of who I was, but it's all I thought the world wanted from me. And so we put up those disguises of who we think that other people want us to be, or who we're comfortable, the parts of ourselves that we're comfortable with them seeing. But if relationships are built on trust, which I'm pretty sure they are, in my friendships, I've at least learned that. At some point, you have to trust them to see the rest of you. The good, the bad, the ugly. All that junk. And all the beautiful things about you, too, that you're like, I don't want somebody to see this and then insult it and wound me. Like, these things mean too much to me to share. So all those things we keep behind the facade of... I am this. I am the professional. I am the geek, the nerd, the labels that we've been given that we've decided are our identity that the world will accept from us. And so the Brilliant Disguise stays on most of the time. But also, because we run around with these ways that we pretend to be with the world, we tend to think that other people are pretending too. Like, well, they don't really like me. They like who I said I am. Or they're not really genuinely interested, they're just showing me a disguise too. Like, that's why Brilliant Disguise is such a impactful song, is it covers both sides of the relationship. It covers the man's suspicion that his partner is just putting on a facade for him, and it covers his own insecurities that he's like, I'm just facading over here too. And just, you know, the unhealthy nexus of that relationship, which Bruce covers a couple different parts of that in Born to Run. The part I'm going to read, especially during the parts where he's discussing his marriage to Julian, because he talks about how, you know, he was kind of going through some rough mental health stuff, and rather than telling his wife about it at this time in their newlywed phase when, you know, he should be building that, you know, relational growth, he kept it to himself, which widened a gulf that may not have been there at all had there not been suspicion and, you know, as he put it, he was out where the buses didn't run. He was way off target and he knew it, but he didn't want to scare his bride by telling her, hey, I'm kind of not mentally well right now and I'm having wild, paranoid, suspicious thoughts about you that I know aren't true, but I'm still having them and it freaks me out. So, keeping up the disguise of, I'm Bruce Springsteen, I've got it all together. I have just had one of the most successful tours of all time. Rather than being real with the people that you need to be real with, those closest to you. Like your family, and your loved ones, friends, spouses. Not all of us have spouses, but hopefully we all have a couple really good friends who we can be ourselves to, or at least trust enough to make the attempt to. But anyways, what Bruce had to say was, it was the fear of having something, allowing someone into my life, someone loving, that was setting off a myriad of bells and whistles and a fierce reaction. Who'd care for me? Love me? The real me? The me I knew who resided inside my easygoing facade? Like, that's it. Like, it's this fear, whether it's of, you know, they're leaving or they're just not knowing what to say. You know, I express things like this sometimes to my family, you know, my own insecurities and stuff, and they don't think on the same wavelength. I don't know that they don't have these same feelings. They just don't understand them when I express them the way I do, when they're like, I'm sorry, but I don't know what to say. So finding friends or, you know, your spouse, if you have one, and building that trust with them and hoping that they speak the same mental language you do. Have somebody in your life, friend or parent or family or whoever, that brains the same way you brain, as I put it with my friends, can introspect, or however you deal with your mental, you know, processing of things. Or therapists. Therapists work too. I just call my best friend who was a psych major my unpaid therapist. But anyways, you know, have people you can talk to and drop the facade with. Be yourself, because the facade is not always a good thing, and you've got to have people in your life that you don't have to be the whatever you try to tell the world has to see you as. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know, I'm only 28, but I'm beginning to think that maybe you don't have to pretend with anybody out there. Even, you know, the lady at the grocery store, just be yourself. I mean, obviously, maybe don't share your whole personal life story, but be yourself, and don't be, you know, don't start out your friendships, you know, with new acquaintances as like, okay, I'm gonna put on the facade of, I'm the jock, I'm the nerd, I'm trying to think of the more adult types that you get put in, the professional businesswoman, or the lawyer, or the golfer, or whatever you do, and just be like, eh, what can I find in common with this person? I don't know. It's worth a shot, at least, I think. And it's better than pretending and being stuck typecasted by yourself for the rest of your life with these people, you know. Better just be yourself, and if they don't like you, bye. But that's a side note. And then to me, like, the next step in this train of growth is tougher than the rest. Because for me, tougher than the rest, I've really had to grapple with. Because I know that the tough is not the tough that I put on in my facade. That's not actually being tough. Being acting like you're Mr. Machismo is not actually tough. It's an act because you are afraid underneath it all. It's like, where are we? Bruce discusses, when he's discussing relationships again, and how he responded in darker moments where, you know, sort of unleashed a bit of his dad on the world with intimidating people when he felt threatened by them. And so his line was, speaking of the whole being intimidating either with his driving or his demeanor or words or silence, you know, basically blowing his top, using his temper and his attitude at that time to control a situation, which he acknowledges was wrong and not a good thing to do. But he said, like a malignant power source I could draw on when physically threatened, when someone tried to go someplace I simply couldn't tolerate. Closer. So, behind the facade, behind the brilliant disguise, to see the real boss, who's just Bruce. And that being, you know, sort of being tough means actually being tough enough and strong enough to risk letting someone see behind the facade, behind all the act, and see you, which is something I am still struggling with and learning on, because I acted tough for so many years, figuring out how to actually be tough, which means being tender, something I viciously fought for many times, is really hard. But I am working on it, and this song, like, reminds me that being tough isn't being able to take a football to the face and throw around car tires and, you know, the stuff that I did and thought made me cool. It's being vulnerable, which seems like the antithesis of tough, but it's not. It's the same. You have to be tough in order to be that vulnerable. It's when you can risk letting your disguise down and showing who you are to those that you love, and letting people love you, because that's scary in of itself. Like Bruce was saying, like, who would love me, the real me, behind all the facades? And so it's really challenging and scary as heck to do that. And of course, if you want to not be scared, you have to be tough. But it doesn't mean tough is not acting like you don't care. That's just unhealthy. Take it from an expert, did it for many years. Still struggling with it. But, you know, tougher than the rest, like, that's why it's such a good song. It's one of those really deep songs, like Brilliant Disguise, where it really forces you to reckon with the things that you do in your relationships and the unhealthy aspects of them. Which is why Bruce is the master of writing songs about relationships, because I don't know any other songwriters other than a little bit of Jackson Browne who get that deep when discussing relationships. Most of them are like, la-da-da-da-da, I broke up and they broke my heart and I'm never going to love again. Or, oh my gosh, I'm in love and it's the best thing ever! Instead of being like, I'm in love and I wanted to work out, but I'm doing some not so great things due to the coping mechanisms I have acquired throughout my life. And so, you know, that's tougher than the rest is trusting people to see you without your real or metaphorical makeup and actually just be yourself, and you're comfortable enough in the love that they have for you and that you have for them that you're not super scared that they're gonna run away. And where were we? I have to look up the next excerpt. And Bruce is talking about him and Patty here and sort of like the growing pains of their relationship, because he hadn't had somebody who challenged him as much as his redheaded woman did until he had her. So he sort of, his comments were, we tested our ability to withstand each other's insecurities. Hard. And it was good. We could fight, surprise, disappoint, raise up, bring down, withhold, surrender, hurt, heal, fight again, love, refit, then go at it one more time. We were both broken in a lot of ways, but we helped with work, our broken broken pieces might fit together in a way that would create something workable and wonderful. And they did. I mean, if you know anything about Bruce's personal relationships, him and Patty are like relationship goals. Like, their kids, as far as, you know, we know, are well-behaved and they're famous, so if they did anything super dumb, we probably would have heard about it. You know, and instead, the only reason we know about his children is because Jessica's on the Olympic team this year for, you know, representing the USA in equestrian. So, you know, that's the things that you want your kids to be in the news for. And, you know, his youngest is a firefighter, you know, doing a normal blue-collar job. Like, all those things that his dad sings about, which, I have a funny side note here. I'm not pretty sure, this is totally a joke, but I have a theory that Sam Springsteen became a firefighter solely to spite his dad, because Bruce has so many songs about fire. You know, Streets of Fire, I'm on Fire, Night Fire, just regular fire. Everything is on fire in Bruce's song, so I feel like Sam was just like, you know what, I'm gonna rebel against my dad. I'm gonna fight fires. That is my silly theory about Sam Springsteen's career choice. But back to the more serious topic here at hand, you know, that it's not easy. There's growing pains. I mean, the personal growth I've had has not come easy. The hardest person to fight in your life is usually yourself. And so there's all these complexities, which Bruce covers well in song and in his book, that make up human relationships and how we deal with people and how we pretend. A song similar to these themes is Billy Joel's The Stranger. There's the masks that we all wear. And, you know, like in The Stranger, you know, he came home to his lover who he could not recognize. If we don't show ourselves to other people and let them feel safe enough to show themselves, then we're all just going to be strangers to each other. Or mild acquaintances. I mean, I have two very close friends, but they were not close until we had some fights, disagreements. I actually let some people see me break down and cry, aside from my parents. And that was good. I needed to drop the act to have at least a couple people in my life I could drop the act with. Because even with my parents, there's the act. I mean, I am the good kid, but there's always the pressure that I have to be the good kid. Your friends don't pressure you like that. And if you have really good friends, they don't pressure you about anything. And hopefully your romantic relationships, if you have those, I have zero experience there, so I can't tell you, are the same way. I don't have zero experience. I have bad experience and zero experience with romance. So I can't tell you what positive relationships look like, but I hope you have one or find one. I hope I find one, honestly. And that gets us to Living Proof, the end. The opposite end of the spectrum from Secret Garden is Living Proof, / Better Days. Because in it, he acknowledges the past, you know, with the... There was just one frightened man and some shadows for bars. You know, the things that he thought he had that were holding him back and keeping him from being himself were just phantoms. They weren't real. You're free to be yourself. You're free to exist as a human being and be whatever you are and be it to the fullest potential and not have to apologize. So if you are a high-level career person who happens to absolutely love Pokemon, by all means, put a Pikachu on your desk and be the nerd that you are, in addition to, you know, negotiating $600,000 contracts or whatever you do with your life. Just be you, because that's the only person you can be, and do it well, and be healthy with the people around you, you know. Especially don't pretend with the people you're close to. It puts some bad tension there, and they don't know you. I mean, they know you, but they don't know the parts of you that you might need to talk about with somebody. if you don't have friends, get a therapist, I guess. I have a friend who doubles as one. but to get to living proof, it's like when you have somebody you can stand with in your secret garden, and they will help you pull out the weeds of your own insecurities and the lies that you've believed about yourself, and they will help you nurture the beauty there, the things that are good about yourself that make you beautiful, because everybody is beautiful. And they will help you grow that, you know, they'll walk around with Miracle-Gro and, you know, help you out. But if you're just trying to fight an overgrown garden by yourself, you're gonna feel overwhelmed, and you're probably gonna shut down. At least that's what I've done, and that's what some of my friends who have let me into their gardens have done. So I feel like it's a fairly common reaction. You get overwhelmed and you're just like, hello, depression. But, you let people into your garden and your garden can grow better. AKA, you can grow better. I've had so much growth because I've had challenging conversations with my friends and they've challenged me to actually examine things rather than taken the mask as who I am. They're like, no, we know there's more. There's parts of you missing. Now, how about we discuss these things and maybe you can figure it out? Because crap, we wear masks and we don't even realize it. And I'm not talking about the COVID masks. I'm talking about metaphorical masks. Though they're even more problematic than the COVID ones were. But anyways, and so, you know, the concrete evidence of their presence in our garden is the produce, you know, the fruits, be that children, if you have a, you know, lifetime partner, spouse, person, or just the knowledge and the ease and comfort that you can be yourself 100% with this person, they're not going to leave you for it, which is a rare feeling. The whole I can be 100% myself and not be abandoned for being myself, which is, you know, it kind of ties back in with some of the other stuff that I've discussed, where with like being tough and tougher than the rest is taking that risk. And yes, sometimes you will get hurt, but the key is to not shut down and wall up the garden because you got hurt. Much like the novel, The Secret Garden, where he locks his wife's garden after the pain of losing his wife. Very similar, just don't lock your garden just because somebody hurt you. Life is pain, princess, to quote Princess Bride. But you gotta persevere. It's part of being alive. Don't shut down, because then you're not you, and the world's a little sadder without you being you, because everybody's got something unique to offer. And so, with Living Proof, this is Bruce discussing the living proof of the birth of his and Patty's first child, and Bruce's first child, period. Actually, both their first child, period. But Evan James Springsteen coming into the world in, like, 1990, or, yeah, July 25th. 1990. Bruce says, your love, the love you've worked so hard to show, to hide, has been ripped from you, and its presence shames your lack of faith while raining light upon the good you've created. All of your excuses for staying protected in isolation, all of the reasons for your secrets, your hiddenness, are blown away. And so when you find that living proof, doesn't necessarily have to be a child that you've had with your partner. You can find living proof in non-romantic relationships or in romantic relationships that don't have children. But when you've got that concrete knowledge that you're loved and you've got whatever solid evidence hits you hard, whether that's, you know, gifts that they've given you, time that they've spent with you, things that they've done for you, things they've done with you, whatever it is, and you've got it, you know that you were loved. It's what makes life worth living. I mean, my friends do that for me. My parents do it for me. I mean, obviously, sometimes you have doubts because you're like, do my parents actually like me for me, or is it just because I'm their kid and they have to? And then I meet friends and I'm like, oh, I guess not all parents do like their kids. That's sad. It's really sad. That's freaking awful, actually. But just loving and being yourself and then finding those people who love you for exactly how you are and take the time to get you to take off your masks. It's like Phantom of the Opera. You know, Eric doesn't just whip off the mask. You know, he has to know that the people who see him without the mask are comfortable with him. Even though Eric is kind of an asshole. He sings great and has beautiful musical talent, but he's totally not a nice guy. But the metaphor still stands. And it's like a quote from what I consider one of the best movies to come out in the last 15 or so years, pretty much since the Lord of the Rings films came out, was the live-action Cinderella that came out in, like, 2015. And there's a quote near the end when Cinderella is walking downstairs to, meet the prince, and, is gonna have to come clean about the fact that she is not a princess, and the gold carriage wasn't hers, and none of that's her, she's just a simple country maid. And so the narrator, which is the fairy godmother, narrates, Helena Bonham Carter narrates, really, says, that is perhaps the greatest risk any of us will ever take. It is to be seen as we truly are. And it is risky, and it is scary, but it's worthwhile in the end. I mean, maybe it's just me, but I take my relationships pretty seriously, and they're kind of what makes life worth living for me. So I kind of want them to be the best they can be, and I hope this ramble, which rambled quite a bit today, helps you to do the same. And, you know, you don't have to go read some serious self-help book to understand your world and its relationships a little better. All you gotta do is listen to some good old rock and roll brought to you by The Boss. Also, honorable mentions, Billy Joel and Jackson Browne. And so, on that note, I hope y'all have a great week. Be yourself. And, be loving. And, I will see you around next week.